protector of the Constitution from enemies foreign and domestic.
Well, hello, beautiful.
Provider of truth.
Government is not the solution to our problem.
The fight for freedom is on right now.
Government is the problem.
Powers to the People with Tony Powers.
And welcome into Hour 3, the Hour of Power on this Friday afternoon. That makes it even more powerful because it's Friday. All right, Tony Powers along with Lee Miller, and your calls at 706-922-9396 or 9390 if you want to join the conversation. We got a great guest line. Oh, don't forget our website, italkus.com. Go there. The phone number is there. It's right up at the top of the page. I forget to give it out, and so just go to the website. That way I don't have to remember every time to give the number out, because that gets kind of boring after a while.
And you can stream us there.
You can stream us live. We got archives of the program, so if you miss something, you can go back and listen to it. That way, if you want to get really pissed off at me and I said something that you didn't like, you can go back and just get angry all over again.
Yeah, total fresh. And what you can even do is friend Tony on Facebook and send him messages about it.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
You can do that.
That makes my day.
In fact, hey, one of our Facebook friends has been really busy today.
Yeah.
Wendy Patterson. She called the other day from North Carolina.
Yeah.
And she has three friends because of her listening today. Doug, he's listening. And we also have...
Where's Doug listening from, you know?
He got his zip code in there wrong, so I don't know where he is.
Okay.
But we have Bernard, and he's streaming us from Franklin Square, New York, and Scott from Myrtle Grove, Florida. So, hey, welcome all. Glad to have you.
Glad to have you on board today. And thanks, Wendy, for spreading the good news about iTalkUS. All right, Colin Christopher is going to be joining us this hour, and this should be an interesting conversation. I've been looking forward to this ever since I saw this guy's website. He is a clinical hypnotherapist, certified by the American Council of Hypnotist Examiners. He is author of the book Success Through Manipulation, Subconsciousness Reactions That Will Make or Break You. Subconscious reactions that will make or break you. He's been studying human behavior and the subconscious mind for the past 15 years. With the upcoming midterm election, he joins us today to talk about political manipulation and how the candidates and their campaigns will try to sway your vote. So this should be kind of interesting because we know we're manipulated. I mean, look at what's going on in Missouri. Are those folks being manipulated or what?
Yeah, a little bit.
I think Al Sharpton, he must have one of those little voodoo dolls or something.
Now, I think you figured it out earlier. In the first hour, you explained to us how they cause us to just go blank.
Yeah.
It's four words. Let me be clear.
Yeah, let me be clear.
Let me be clear, and that's it.
That's a secret hypnotic phrase.
Right. Your jaw drops and drool starts to come out of your mouth.
If somebody looks into a camera and gets you to look dead into their eyes and say, let me be clear, suddenly the whole nation is hypnotized.
hypnotized because you just said it to me.
I know.
You looked at me and you said it.
I didn't mean to look at you.
Don't look at me and say that. That's freaky.
Here's something that's been...
The whole nation's hypnotized.
This has gone under the radar. And I saw this story today and I'm like, here we have Missouri's got, I see all these things as methods of mass distraction.
Because the whole nation's hypnotized.
Because the whole nation's hypnotized. But it's like squirrel here, squirrel there. Okay, let's talk about Missouri. Let's talk about ISIS for a while. Let's talk about the VA for a while. Let's talk about the IRS for a while. Everything is like, but let's forget about Obamacare. the one thing that might change the Senate in 2014. Let's never talk about that. So let's have every other kind of imaginable crisis we can.
Yeah.
Just to get everybody's mind off of that.
Children crossing our borders,
Oh, yeah. We got crisis. We got so much going on, nobody can keep up with
it. But we're safe. Kids can come across our border, but not Al-Qaeda.
And then, of course, they have another crisis, and this is something Wendy, our friend, was pointing out online, and that's what made me think of this. She was pointing out that one crisis is, it kind of trumps the last crisis, so we never think about anything long enough to actually pay attention. And so we have our attention distracted constantly. But today I find out that there's a judge that's demanding answers after the IRS contradicts sworn testimony on Lois Lerner's scratched hard drives. Turns out they weren't scratched after all.
Her hard drive wasn't scratched.
No, U.S. District
Stunned. Court. I am stunned.
Judge Emmett Sullivan yesterday ordered an Internal Revenue Service to come up with a new answer after IRS employees contradicted sworn testimony about the damage to Lois Lerner's hard drive. He ruled that the IRS is hereby ordered to file a sworn declaration by an official with the authority to speak under oath for the agency by no later than August 22nd on four issues. The IRS attempted to recover attempted recovery of Lerner's lost emails after her computer allegedly crashed, barcodes that could have been used on the hard drive, IRS policies on hard drive destruction, and information about an outside vendor who worked on IRS hard drives. Recent documents from Judicial Watch's Freedom of Information Act lawsuit against the IRS, which Sullivan is presiding over, showed that IRS technology officials contradicted sworn testimony about the damaged Lerner's hard drive. Aaron Signor, an IRS technician that looked at Lerner's hard drive in June 2011, said in IRS court filings that he saw no damage to the hard drive before he sent it off to another IRS technician, leaving some to suggest that the lost email scandal is basically over, but his statement actually said there was nothing wrong with her hard drive.
Wow.
You can't make this stuff up. We'll be back right after this.
iTalk US, your conservative voice.
Out where the river broke, the bloodwood and the desert oak. Wrecks and boiling diesels, steam and 45 degrees.
The time has come to say fair's fair, to pay the rent, to pay our share. The time has come.
Hey, and welcome back to Powers to the People. A little midnight oil there, and beds are burning. Convenience stores are burning. Liquor stores are burning.
Rims are getting stolen.
Yeah.
Tear gas is causing eyes to burn.
I think there's a little manipulation going on up in Ferguson, Missouri. I was just reading a report here, and I'm going to get to this before we get to our guest. This is the new Black Panthers. They apparently have very little use for Al Sharpton either.
Oh, really?
The new Black Panther national chairman, Hashim Nzinga, say that five times fast, told Al Sharpton in the NAACP, don't bring your ass to St. Louis, telling them they don't have the right to be angry, because he said, you ain't never made it all right. And he added, get your ass out of the way. Nzinga, speaking on the new Black Panther blog talk radio show earlier in the week, added, they don't ever want us to feel we should fight, but we can't get free if we don't fight. He concluded, you don't live unless you're willing to die.
Can't get free, huh?
I think maybe there's a little manipulation going on there, too.
Who owns them?
I don't know.
Who?
The Democratic Party.
Oh, got it.
Bought and paid for.
Got it. Okay.
All right, welcome back to the program. Tony and Lee, along with Colin Christopher, who is a clinical hypnotherapist certified by the American Council of Hypnotist Examiners. And I guess you have to go through that. You have to have the hypnotist examiners, and I'm sure there's a test involved.
Examine whether or not.
He's the author of Success Through Manipulation, Subconscious Reactions, that will make or break you. He's been studying human behavior and the subconscious mind for the past 15 years. And with the upcoming midterm election, he joins us today to talk about political manipulation and how the candidates and their campaigns will try to sway your vote. And
you know,
actually, I did some studying up on hypnosis before we had him on. And as I said earlier, and I'm sure he'll back me up on this, if you really want to hypnotize somebody, you look straight into the camera and you say, "Let me be perfectly clear." And if you say that, the whole country will fall
into a spell.
Into a spell.
Yeah,
and you got him.
Got him.
And
well,
you
can
have him dancing naked
around the. Yeah, I mean, you talk to Colin. I'm going to run out to the break room and get that tinfoil. I forgot our hats. We got to be protected from this guy. We got to be protected.
Please get the tinfoil
from this guy.
All right, Colin, welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm great. It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Now, you know, you have quite a job now. You do comedy and you also do serious stuff.
And absolutely, yeah.
And I kind of would like to, you know, join the two together today if we can. It is Friday afternoon, after all.
But, as you can tell, we're so serious here.
But first, your book, Success Through Manipulation, Subconscious Reactions That Will Make or Break You. What's the book about?
Well, basically, the book is it's something that tests how you react and think right from the moment you hear the title. You know, when you look at manipulation, it's not really good or bad. It's sort of your belief that's positive or negative. You know, when you're driving, you manipulate like a steering wheel. But if you manipulate bad, you'll crash your car. But if you manipulate well, like a race car driver, you can win the Indy 500. So basically, the book it gives you the tools to see your biases, your preconceptions, and negative thinking to identify and change. Basically your reactions, and so you can be more successful. And just how to identify different things that are manipulating you in your environment, whether it's like your family, your friends, you know, celebrities, politicians, all those kinds of things, anything that's influencing you, and seeing where that influence comes from so that you can do something about it and make more informed decisions.
Can I ask you, is your book is not selling very well in Missouri, is it? There are a lot of bad choices being made there. I'm just saying it can't be a big hit there.
Well, we'll work on that, won't we?
All right. So now getting into politics here, and of course I have actually been to a comedy club, and a hypnotist has been there, and you know, and they always get the cute girls to come up on stage. And they get him to do something really. Actually, had a date do it one time, and she did something very embarrassing.
It was a subconscious reaction that either made her broke her. That's what it was.
All right, so I just want to ask right off: is all that real, or did that guy get my date off to the side when I went to the restroom and say, "Hey, I want you to get up here and take your bra off"?
Well, I can't speak to what he made her do, but it's definitely real. For a show setting, it's a little bit different than a therapy setting, one-on-one, those kinds of things. It's set up over a long period of time, but people hear about shills coming up and that kind of thing. That really doesn't happen anymore. It used to be a lot more common, probably the turn of the century, but nowadays, I mean, we know so much more about how the subconscious mind works and how to manipulate it to do entertaining things that we don't really need to have that fake stuff. We just do the real stuff on stage and in person.
All right, and so the people are actually doing that silly stuff, and they're doing it because they are actually hypnotized.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, a lot of people ask how does it work, and it's sort of like watching a movie. If you've ever been sitting down watching a horror movie, you know, suddenly the music comes on, you start getting scared, you get the goosebumps, you get the physical reactions, your mouth gets dry, and then, you know, if you get really scared, you start screaming in the movie theater. There's no real physical danger. But your subconscious mind is being accessed, all the emotional fear is being accessed, and it creates the physical reactions in your body. So in the same way, we do that up on stage, and politicians as well, they kind of do that in the same way to get people to do things that they want them to do.
And so really, when I say that the folks out in Missouri, to some degree, perhaps have been hypnotized, the events, the environment that's been created there, while they as individuals are under no threat, there is no reason for them to act out in such a violent way. in a way, they've kind of been subjected to what you're talking about, and that's kind of what the Black Panthers are trying to do to them.
Yeah, a bit of mass hysteria.
Yeah, well, you know, whenever anybody's emotionally compromised, reason sort of leaves them a little bit, so things happen. Like, you can go, let's go back to another time, World War II with Nazi Germany. People ask, how did a nation do what they did? And the reality was, they were very good at, Hitler was very good at speaking and getting their emotions enticed and doing this group mentality. And once some people in a group start doing things, it's much easier for other people in the group to start doing things. And it just sort of snowballs and rolls. So, until cooler heads prevail, that's what's going to happen.
All right, so how do politicians, and we know that we're being manipulated by politicians because they stand there and they bold-faced lie to us. We know they're bold-faced lying to us, and yet we want to believe them. I remember when Bill Clinton was in office, and, he would bite his lip. I don't know if you remember that, but he, when he wanted to be sincere or something, or to get across that he felt your pain, he would bite his lip, and there were things that he would do. That I think probably struck people to make you think, okay, I want to believe this guy.
He's genuine.
He's genuine. Uh-huh. And so you do believe them, even though your logic tells you, I shouldn't believe this, yet you do.
Well, he's one example of very charismatic people. Are very charismatic people, do they kind of just have this skill by nature?
I think they have the skill, but some people have it by nature, but it's definitely something learned. Like, if you take a look at Bill Clinton, one of the things that maybe a lot of people don't remember, don't think about is when he first apologized, he did that whole, for the whole Monica Lewinsky thing, he did that, that legal dictionary quote thing that, nobody bought. And then he proceeded to actually practice apologies in public locations over and over and over again, until he nailed it. And then after, I don't remember the number of weeks, probably two or three, when he finally had the final apology that they publicized everywhere, it was very rehearsed. I'm sure it felt heartfelt as well, but he practiced it and rehearsed it. So, you can practice and rehearse that sincerity over time.
All right, and certainly we have a president now who is, I think, a master at mass hypnosis, because obviously he makes people believe things that we, again, logic tells us this is not true.
Your eyes tell you it's not true.
You know it's not true. I mean, empirical evidence tells you it's not true, and yet he says it, and I don't know if the media is hypnotized, if he got them first. And maybe he got them all in a little room when he was having, one of those roast, where all the media get together. Maybe they had a hypnotist there at the very first one, because the media has just, they seem to be hypnotized by this guy. What is it about Obama that is so hypnotic?
I think one of the things when I watch Obama, I think his speech, he speaks in very even, commanding tones. He's got a voice you want to listen to, whether you like him or not. People just sort of want to listen to that voice. So he takes advantage of that. When there's pressure going on, like a really good example would have been back in the elections, but when him and Mitt were doing the debates, I think one of the reasons Mitt didn't do as well in the debates was primarily because of the tone of his voice. When he felt the pressure, you could hear his tone fluctuate. It got higher, it got faster. Versus Obama manages to keep his tone, nice and calm and nice and even. And that even, calm, low tone is trustworthy to people. So that's why I think people trust him, because he has got that low, even tone.
So that's the problem Ron Paul had. What you have always accused, Tony, Ron Paul, of being like the crazy uncle in the attic who gets all over the place.
Yeah, he flails his arms around.
And he gets pitchy.
And although Ron Paul, because I have become more and more libertarian as I hang around my friend Lee here, but over the years I think libertarianism has kind of drawn me, because I'm a constitutional conservative, and libertarians tend to like the Constitution. they believe in smaller, limited government. And so I've kind of leaned that way. But Ron Paul, here's a guy.
For as brilliant as he was a hard sell.
Young people loved him. So there was something about him that attracted young people. But then older thinking people would look at him and say, he's just a crazy uncle in the attic. You can't pay attention to that guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, younger people have a tendency to identify with people that are more excitable, more energetic. But people who've been around the block a little bit, you know, we take a look at people and we want our leaders, we look at them and say, okay, how is this guy going to be in a crisis situation? Is he going to freak out? Is he going to be all over the place, or is he going to be calm and even measured? And how they present themselves is a reflection of how people think they're going to act when they're in that position.
And that's, I'm sure, was Ron Paul's problem, because I think that because of the way that he had that kind of shrill voice and he would kind of flail around on stage when he was answering questions, it probably made people think, well, is, you know, when a crisis comes, is he going to be running down the hall, waving his arms and screaming, what do I do? What do I do? All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with Colin Christopher right after this on iTalkUS. Stick around. The revolution continues live online and on your phone, italkus.com. I'm being hypnotized. We're all being hypnotized. All right, little Pink Floyd. I thought that would be apropos to this conversation because I remember back in the early 70s.
You know where I feel like I am right now?
On the dark side of the moon?
That's where I feel.
Welcome back to Powers of the People at iTalkUS. Tony and Lee and our guest, Colin Christopher, clinical hypnotherapist certified by the American Council on Hypnotist Examiners, and author of the book Success Through Manipulation, Subconscious Reactions That Will Make or Break You. We were talking about how politicians actually manipulate people before we went into the break, Colin. And how do they do that? How do the politicians make you buy into whatever their political philosophy is or their policies? Is there something in the tone of their voice? Do they do it through words? Are the speech writers just that good, or are people just that willing to be predisposed to a particular ideology, so when somebody comes up and says it in an artful way, they're willing to accept it?
I think the first step is it's they say it in an artful way. I think people generally have this predisposition to want to trust people that speak in ways that are familiar to us. So if they find a way to connect with the people voting for them on an emotional basis, speak in low, calmer tones, that connection garners trust. And people naturally want to trust people. It's not there's not as much distrust among people as there is that ability to want to trust. But there's a number of factors too. Like there's repetition. So you'll see political commercials. You'll hear it on the radio, on the TV, on the internet. So there's certainly that component of repetition that they use to help get people to vote for them. And, you know, we talked about it earlier. They sometimes lie. They talk about things. It's interesting, like when you take a look at slander campaigns and the different things about what's true and what's not true. And then there's like subliminal things like, Obama was really good at it. Well, I don't know if it was Obama himself or his political team, but they did this. If you Google Obama Superman picture, there's a whole bunch of them. And I remember when the elections were going around, that picture was all around where, you know, Superman stands for truth, justice, and the American way. So you see Obama equated with Superman constantly. So people had this natural predisposition to think of him as standing for truth, justice, and the American way, just on a subliminal level. So I'm sure that helps weigh things.
They were really smart to jump in on that. I just realized something. That hope and change picture was red and blue. It fed into that image. That
absolutely.
That division of red as Superman, it fed into that image.
Oh yeah, the logo.
The logo, yeah. It's the picture of him that was done in red and blue.
Yeah.
And it had hope and change on it. Was done in the red and blue of the Superman costume.
Mm-hmm.
I never noticed that
Absolutely.
Until you mentioned it just now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're subliminally conditioned on multiple levels to think about that in a way. Now, I mean, the biggest thing for people to kind of avoid being manipulated on those levels is really just start educating themselves. And, you know, don't always take people's word for what's going on. Like you talk about politicians are really good at lying. You can tell they're lying to your face a lot of times, but a lot of people believe them too. So, you know, fact-checking is a very important one, too. Don't necessarily believe everything they tell you, because we're naturally predisposed to trust politicians, maybe a little bit less so now in the age of Twitter and Facebook and those kinds of things, because stuff can be fact-checked a lot more quickly with the Internet. But we still have this latent trusting because they're an authority figure, and we want them to do well. We want strong leaders, so we want them to do something for us.
You know, you mentioned something earlier that it really struck home with me when you mentioned repetition, because one thing that the Democratic Party in particular has got down, and that is talking points. And you will hear, like on the Sunday morning shows...
She of the angry perm.
Yeah, well, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, or you'll have Harry Reid, or you'll have Nancy Pelosi, or whoever, or the president's press secretary, or the person from the State Department, they are all on the same page. And they always use the same phrase. And it's like in a weekend, you will hear repeated over and over and over again the same phrase.
Yep, phony scandals.
Yep.
Made up scandals.
Made up, yeah. You know, they would repeat that. And it's not just one person. You hear it from a number of people, which then, I think, makes it even more believable.
Yeah, it does, because the more people you hear it from, the more, because then it suddenly is credible because multiple people are saying it versus one person saying it, because if everybody thinks it's true, then obviously it must be true versus going to fact check it. But those talking points are really interesting as well, because they, whether they're Republican, whether they're Democrat, whatever, or whatever media outlet it is, a lot of them, they test their talking points on a small test group to see what sticks and what doesn't. So once they see what sticks, that's the stuff that they use over and over again.
Oh, yeah. It's focus group tested.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
you know, you have
group, yeah.
The thing I'm really interested in, and maybe you understand the psychology of this, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, for instance. Democrats love what this woman says. It's like they believe everything that she says. When I see this woman talk, I want to puke. I don't believe anything that comes out of her mouth. I don't care how honest it is. Is there a guttural reaction to some of these people that, I mean, you just learn to not like them?
Yeah, I mean, and those reactions can come from a lot of different things. I mean, in your case, she probably reminds you of somebody else that that's not honest, or what, you know, I don't know what those things are for you specifically that trigger you to not to like her, but at the same time, she has qualities that trigger other people to like her and identify her, identify with her and want to trust her.
On me.
Actually, she looks like the Bart's sister on The Simpsons to me.
Yeah.
And she's always manipulating Bart, so maybe that's the reason that you don't trust her. But what are some of the things that we should look out for? We only got about a minute or so here left. What should we be looking out for as we go into these midterm elections?
I guess one of the big ones I would say is maybe celebrity endorsements. A lot of people put credibility on celebrities based on their popularity. And that doesn't just go with politicians. It goes with like products like, you know, Pepsi Coke with Justin Bieber and, you know, Beyonce and all those things promoting it. But they have this people have this tendency to trust the celebrity. So if they like a particular candidate, celebrity A likes candidate B, so I'm going to like candidate B because I like celebrity A. They have that association. I think that's one of the biggest ones, after the celebrity endorsements. And then, I think, yeah, just checking out vocal tones, but really educating yourself on the platforms of these people and making informed decisions versus emotional decisions about whether you like them or not. Make the educated decision about whether they stand for what you believe in, versus just that emotional connection that you may or may not have to them, because those emotions can be really easily manipulated, but facts can't.
And let me be clear. Let me be clear.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton does not look presidential. Does not look
All right, go to ColinChristopher.com and also go to his other website at successthroughmanipulation.com. Colin, been a pleasure. Thanks for being on.
Your conservative voice on iTalk US.
that kind of party.
Don't let the sound of your own wheels drive you crazy.
All right, welcome back to Power to the People. Final segment on this Friday afternoon. I want to thank Colin Christopher for joining us in that last segment. Boy, we got to have him back. A very interesting conversation. Success through manipulation, subconscious reactions that will make or break you. I suggest you get the book.
And I would say that title alone is a manipulation.
Yeah, he manipulates you into thinking, I got to get this book.
I have that.
It can make or break me. But anyhow, you can find him at successthroughmanipulation.com or colinchristopher.com. That's C-H-R-I-S-T-O-P-H-E-R, colinchristopher.com. And check him out. Very interesting guy. And look forward to having him back on the program. All right, I think we got Brenda on the phone. Brenda, what's on your mind this afternoon?
Well, I wanted to tell you that was so interesting. And I definitely will try to get his book.
Oh, good for you, because it could make or break you.
Well, because, you know, the only reason that this president won the last election was because they must have had so many people on staff that are the experts on mind control, because they certainly used all the tricks in the book. They did.
Well, you know,
it is funny
when, you know, because we talk about this all the time about how certain groups vote a certain way. I mean, you look at the black community, 95% vote Democrat all the time.
Yeah.
So they must have that down pat.
Look at the Tea Party.
Look at the Tea Party.
Republicans beat the snot out of us. I mean, they are rude and hateful to us.
And yet we will vote Republican.
In order for the Obama administration and the Democrats to win that last election, they got the help of the Catholics, they got the help of the Jews, they got the help of religious Christian preachers. A lot of people did not go vote. I mean, there was so much going on there, and I believe in mind control. I know that Hitler used it. I know that North Korea uses it. Well, you know, look at North Korea.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. That goes back to Edward Bernays, and actually the guy for Hitler used Edward Bernays' book called, at the time, Propaganda. It's now called Public Relations. Think about that. Think about that now. Public Relations is the name of the book that was originally called Propaganda, but it was found on the desk of Joseph Goebbels.
Yeah, and every TV commercial you see, every radio commercial you hear, everything that you are sold, there's a bit of propaganda in there.
Yeah, well, no, they don't call it that, though. What do they call it? PR.
Yeah, public relations.
It is propaganda.
And so there is some of that going on, not to say that, no, our advertisers never use that.
we don't have any focus groups.
We don't have any focus groups. But the thing is, we are always being sold something, and politicians are probably the best snake oil salesmen in the world.
Fertilizer.
And
they have the media. The media is out there pushing all the right buttons, saying all the right things. And it's a scary thing.
Yeah, and they artfully do it, too. I mean, you know, just take criminal aliens, for instance, people who come into our country and break our laws to get here. That makes them criminals right off.
Yeah.
They're aliens because they don't belong here. Yet now we call them immigrants and undocumented. Undocumented immigrants.
Right.
As if they were legal immigrants, they just somehow lost their papers.
Forgot to fill them out.
Yeah, forgot to fill out their papers.
This last batch that came across that they manipulated and got in here, I would call them victims to a certain extent. Victims. They were, a lot of them were young, they were children.
And what were they victims of? They were victims of a story
of the Obama administration. A lot of them died.
Yeah, they were victims of a story that was being told that, hey, if you can get to the United States, you can stay.
And now,
and you'll be taken care of.
And now here's the bigger manipulation is, you're right, they're victims of a narrative that was sold to them by this administration, by our government. They come here, they die in the deserts of thirst, of heat exhaustion.
Little girls are raped.
Little girls are raped and killed. And somehow, Republicans who are not in power, who don't have the authority, they're trying to stop this, take the blame.
Yeah, it's somehow.
What
yeah.
a manipulation.
Yeah.
What a thing.
You're
Republicans,
right.
Republicans better call our last guest and figure out how this thing works.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they need to get in touch with Colin Christopher.
Remember when I said, please don't play him on the radio? I don't want to hear his voice. It goes back. That's right. It goes back to.
Oh, you mean Obama?
I was impressed. No, I wasn't. Yes, I was impressed with him at first, but as soon as I caught him in the first lie, and I looked and I said, "Oh my goodness, he can really lie well." And this was when he was debating with Hillary Clinton, and I thought, oh, "We're in big trouble here."
Yeah. Well,
you
at
know,
least you weren't.
He can lie really well.
Yeah,
and
he
has.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, at least you're not like the girl that was dating Pinocchio, you know. Lie to me, baby. Lie to me.
Well.
Oh, come on. That was so bad. All right. Thank you, Brenda.
Okay. I hope y'all have a great weekend.
You have a great weekend yourself.
All right.
Bye bye. Bye bye. Yeah, I had it on that note because I was afraid where my partner was going to go. But the manipulation just goes on and on and on. Yeah, and then, you know, we're told false scandals. Now, even in the face of, I hate to go back to this IRS thing, but we find out today or yesterday this guy named Aaron Signor, an IRS technician that looked at Lois Lerner's hard drive. Back in June of 2011, said in IRS court filings that there was no damage to the hard drive before he sent it off to another IRS technician, and leading some of the media to suggest that the lost email scandal is basically over. No. Signor's statement, issued in response to this Judicial Watch lawsuit, doesn't jibe with the sworn congressional testimony that we've heard, and yet you're not hearing about this on the mainstream media, and they want us to believe. How many people out there actually, and you know, you look at polls, 75-80% of the people believe that Lois Lerner destroyed her emails on purpose, even Democrats.
Sure.
And yet nobody's screaming bloody murder about it.
Right.
Why is that? They have manipulated us.
Yeah, it's so simple. It's exactly what
we can't get to the bottom of it. So
yeah, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Brenda hit it, and you were talking about it as well. It's the media. The media could grab onto this. They could take the facts that we have on the IRS case, and they could take that and they could just go with it. I mean, they could wear it out like they do some of the things that they wear out. And we would be all behind it. I mean, it would be like Ferguson. It'd be bad. The American people would be up in arms. I mean, because 70% plus believe that the IRS is lying. But why are we not doing anything about it? Because the media is not spinning that narrative.
Well, this judge isn't buying it. U.S. District Court Judge Emmett Sullivan has launched an independent inquiry into the issue of the missing emails associated with the IRS, Lois Lerner. Judicial Watch said in a statement, previously Judge Sullivan ordered the IRS to produce sworn declarations about the IRS email issue. By August 11th, today, the order confirms Judicial Watch's read of this week's IRS filings that treated as a joke Judge Sullivan's order. Now the IRS, it looks like they're in the hot seat. Somebody's going to have to come up and swear under oath. I got a feeling we're going to get to the bottom of this. We're going to get to the bottom of this thing, but it's going to be a long, drawn-out affair.
Oh, yeah, and it's going
to
be
buried. And by the time it comes to light, it'll be buried.
It'll be buried.
And old news.
Yeah, and they'll have created another crisis that they can stick in front of us and wave back and forth, and we'll run at that cape just like the wild bull, and they'll stick a knife in our back when we run by.
But, you know,
bullfight.
Our friend Wendy, and this was a point she was making, and this is kind of what I was kind of getting to before we went to the break, is that over and over again, we have one crisis, and we've talked about this before, we have one crisis after another crisis after another crisis or another scandal. It's just one thing after another. And once one thing starts heating up to the point where the public starts actually getting interested in it and actually getting angry about it, like the VA scandal.
Yeah, diversionary tactic.
It's like something else happens. Russia is invading. Oh, we got to worry about the Ukraine. Oh, Crimea just got taken by the Russians.
Yeah, oh, Israel and Gaza.
Yeah, so let's all talk about Israel. It's like, let's get off the subject. And the media, that is part of the manipulation.
And when they
Colin Christopher was talking about.
Exactly, and when they can't find something like that, they will just go and dig something up. For instance,
they'll create it.
They'll dig something up that normally they wouldn't give a care about. You look at what's going on. What did we have? We had the 200 schoolgirls plus that were kidnapped by, do you even remember the name of the group?
Boca Raton.
Okay, you do. Okay. You sure of that? Anyway, they were Boca something. Yeah. Boca Haram. Boca Haram.
Boca Haram, yeah. Boca Raton is a city.
that's right. Anyway, 200 schoolgirls.
Yeah.
Okay. They have been attacking schools. They have been killing children. They have been kidnapping girls. It's been going on for years. But they didn't have anything else to talk about.
Yeah, so they
had a distraction.
So we had the hashtag "Bring Back Our Girls," and that was the big news. The Twitter feed by Michelle Obama. We've got to stop allowing ourselves to be distracted. All of these stories are probably important, but what we got to concern ourselves with is the real important stories. And what's happening in November? All right, let's go to the phones one more time, real quickly. You got about 10 seconds. Who do we have?
The most important monster pornography ever shown was Frankenstein. He was the first one that ever got screwed.
Thanks, Chuck. That's a good way to head into the weekend
We were talking about monster porn
right.
yesterday.
God bless.
All right. Our friend Mark Levin is next, and I'm sure he'll have some interesting things to say on this Friday evening. We'll see you Monday afternoon. Have a great weekend, everybody. Until Monday, good night.
God bless.
God bless.